نحمده ونصلي على رسولك والصافات صفا والزاجرات زجرا والتاليات ذكرا We are required to take oaths only in the name of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is not under any person's control. يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ He does as he wishes. So this one that can ask him, why was this and why was not this? So we are not allowed to take qasam in the name of anything besides Allah Ta'ala. But there is nothing greater than Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala will take oaths as He feels appropriate. Sometimes He will take the oath on time, on us. And He will take oaths in these things to impress upon us the importance of it. For example, on us, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانِ لَفِي خُسْرٍ Man is in a loss. And then the oath that has been taken, the oath is taken on time. Because that's your capital. You wasted this, then you wasted your whole life. And you appreciated this, then you appreciated your whole life. One person is at a Qabristan, and he recited some Quran Sharif and passed the sawab to the deceased. Thereafter he sees what he is presented, then all the mayyat are coming to take the shares. But he sees one chacha is reclining nicely and he is not concerned. But everybody is coming to receive their shares, and what's wrong with you? So why must I worry? So why aren't you worried? Because I am getting one Quran every day. And the person on the door is giving one chit chat. And what he's saying, I'm getting a whole horse and trailer of chit chats. I don't need this thing here. So because my son, I made him a hafiz, and every day he completes one khatam for me. So I don't need this. Who's your son? So and so. What work he does? Sell some sweets, whatever. And he's here. The sweet shop. So he got the name, he got the location, and he went up. And so he's doing his mitai, but his mouth is just moving. Who are you, so-and-so? My name is matching. What are you reciting Quran to? Why so much? I got a duty to my father. I recite one Quran and pass it on to him. The names are matching. So he came after some time, and he read, and he passed it on. Now you see that Chacha also is coming to take his share. Chacha, what happened now? Say, my son passed away. He went back and he saw the child is gone. But I was explaining the same concept to the ustaz this morning. In dunya, we keep some structures for our material security, don't we? Financial, material security. But the security can only be a security if the child has got deen. If he doesn't have deen, then what's the good of that security? Though, as Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi says, in this age and time, if a person has got wealth, he must take good care of it. Because if he is in the push, then the first thing that he'll experiment with is his deen. He's in a tight corner now, and doesn't have any money. What's going to happen? Start experimenting, playing with his deen. So the person that has got something now, then he must take good care, so that all his affairs can go well. That's why our elders don't encourage giving all your wealth away. Then you may ask, what about us? Abu Bakr gave everything away. So there will be different folks. Some are such that when they give everything away, they feel mentally relaxed and the focus towards Allah Ta'ala improves. And there are those that only feel relaxed, their focus to Allah Ta'ala improves when they got something. So now everybody has to see in which category he fits in. If I fit into the second category, I mustn't pretend to be like the one in the first category. The idea is the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, and someone needs a more greater support to keep that, to keep him in place. See, you are a big building, right? So we need so much additional support. The foundation needs to be so strong to carry something so huge. You got a small dwelling, you don't need such a big support. But it's a big building, so now it's left to the individual how much of support he requires, that his mind is in Allah Ta'ala, he doesn't feel disturbed when he's in zikr, he doesn't feel disrupted when he's reciting the Quran Sharif. So his things are going well. So that person must keep something so that all his affairs can go well. And if he doesn't have something, his mind will be disrupted, he'll be a madman at home, he'll be fighting with everybody. Otherwise, he'll be not only living hand to mouth, other people's hands and his mouth. That's how he lives. So you keep something. Why? So that you have a better quality of ibadat, zikr, namaz, and you don't fight, don't beg and borrow from anybody. Luqman alayhi salam, one advice was, abstain, be careful of debts and loans. Because debts and loans, in the day, it's a disgrace, because now you can't see your creditor. Saw him, now you're feeling ashamed. Came to the masjid, and you see your creditor, and he's coming from this entrance, you move out from the next entrance. You don't want to see him. So in the day, it's a disgrace, and at night, you are sleepless. I have to pay this money, I have to sort that one out. It wouldn't have costed you anything much if you lived in simplicity. Instead of putting an expensive curtain, if you put bed sheets on the window, it won't cost much. It wouldn't cost you anything. Just that you won't have a name. So what? But you're at ease, you're comfortable, your children are comfortable. If someone looks down upon you, so it's not a big deal there. But you are mentally and physically comfortable. So we don't live lives in people's minds. Now you want a good home, palatial home, etc. So that you feel that you are respected in the minds of people. That's me kya kawa hai. Man kana yuridu al-izzata falillahi al-izzatu jamia. Allah Pak says that honor and respect belongs to him entirely. Right. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, hardly got anything, and he's left. And yet, up till this day, everybody honors him, radiallahu anhu. Afdalul Bashar, Ba'd al Anbiya, the best man after the Anbiya alayhi salam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So all praise him. Though when he left, he had hardly anything. So Allah assures you that respect and honor is in his hands. It's not in money and not in the minds of people. So we are reciting this verse now. Safat is Safan. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't speak about who he's talking about. Those who arrange themselves in rows, right? Arrange themselves well in rows. But who he's speaking about, that is not mentioned. It could mean the malaika, right? They arrange themselves properly in rows, فَزَّاجِرَاتِ زَجْرًا, and they repel all evil, evil shaitan, etc. They repel. The stars, so we see sometimes falling stars, right? So these stars are struck sometimes, they are struck like missiles. When the shayateen, they try to ascend the skies to take some information by stealth, then the malaika, they fire those missiles against them. So sometimes it's used as missiles against them. Safat is safat. And then they repel all these evil spirits. And in the process, they are reciting the word of Allah, فَتَّالِيَاتِ ذِكْرًا. So you see the malaika, and Allah Pak takes an oath in their names. And explained that Allah Ta'ala, He's got the right to take the oath on the thing that He wishes. Nobody governs Him, nobody questions Him. La yus'alu amma yafalu, He's not answerable to anybody. But there is genuinely a connection between the oath and what He's speaking about. If He speaks about al-asr, then there's a connection. Time and man is at a loss. So he appreciated the time, then that's a blessing for him. But he did not appreciate the time, then can there be a greater loss? On the day of Qiyamah, Muslims, Allah bless them with Jannah, take us all with ease and afiyat. But the only thing that he will regret are those moments that went without the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So no matter what work we are in, but we are constantly in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Whether verbally, whether mentally, whether both, whether one of the two, but we are in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala all the time. And there's nothing greater in repelling evil, evil spirits, evil thoughts, than the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. It's about the most effective thing. So that's the only ibadat which Allah Pak says, do it in abundance and in all postures. Do it in abundance and in all postures. So 2 days ago, some students were asking that when we come out from the toilet, then we say Ghufranak. We ask Allah Ta'ala's pardon, right? So was there any sin committed for the person asking Allah Ta'ala's pardon and forgiveness? So the ulama explained about 4 reasons why you ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness as you come out of the toilet, right? One is this, that for that duration, you couldn't take the name of Allah Ta'ala verbally. So you ask His pardon, that I couldn't take your name, so I beg your pardon. Your name was supposed to be taken at all times. For the duration that I was here, then I couldn't take your name. Sometimes it's not your fault, but ethically you ask for forgiveness. Right? Ethically, you ask for forgiveness. Sometimes you're going to a doctor, so he's giving you an injection. Sorry, this will be over. But is it his mistake? Not his mistake, but ethically he asks you for maaf. Doesn't he? Sometimes it is that you had an appointment with the person, you met him, and you say sorry for taking up your time. So it wasn't your mistake. He had called you, but you felt perhaps I overplayed my role, so you ask him for forgiveness. So is there anybody greater than Allah Ta'ala that you should be asking for forgiveness? The second reason they say is You are looking at the favor of Allah Ta'ala, what it was once upon a time, and when it got into your system, what a mess you made of it. What it was, you know, a strawberry, how nice it looked, the feature, the color, the taste, the texture, right? You're playing with it with your hand, you're enjoying the thing. And then the next moment, now you don't want to see the thing, you don't want to touch the thing, you don't want to smell the thing. But the problem was through yourself. So ethically, you asked Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. That I couldn't. Number three is this, that third reason, right? And you look at the morsel of food, right? So many causes of nature had gone to make that one morsel, right? So many asbab, nature, right? The wind played its game, the clouds their game, right? Then the earth, then the farmer, then the tiller, the miller, the retailer, the wholesaler, the factory. So many played the game, and then nowadays the 60-60. So many people played a combined role for you to be able to enjoy one morsel of food. Could you have done it individually? The rice is coming from Pakistan perhaps, spices from India, crockery from China, and the tea from Calcutta, somewhere, right? But so many combined things of Allah Ta'ala, and one morsel you're enjoying it. But did you ever think now, so many forces of Allah Ta'ala have combined for you to be able to enjoy in one morsel of food? Right. So when you look at how it was formed, right, and then how you enjoyed it, right, then it didn't end there. After that, the same food after that, right, your work is only to enjoy. And your work is only about, say, 10 centimeters from the teeth to the throat, right? That's your work. And your work was, what was it? Just to enjoy. After that, intestine, big intestine, small, all that, right? And then transforming it into energy, right? Blood, and then having a facility to throw the waste, having a facility to transform the blood into energy. Do you know all that's happening? You don't even know about it. But it's happening for everybody. So when you are reflecting over the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, what Allah Pak has done, you say, no, I am not in a position of thanking Allah Ta'ala. Then He's made a facility for the waste to be thrown out. Right? Imagine you were constipated and the waste was stuck inside your system then. The urine was stuck, the pisab got stuck, number two got stuck. How miserable don't you feel? And all this is free. And you go to a hospital, pisab got stuck, 50,000-60,000 they charge you. Yeah, you're doing it all the time, in the day and the night, and Allah Pak is not charging you anything. All He wants is make shukr. He's not asking you for something that you can't manage, right? So when you saw the favor of Allah Ta'ala, then you felt, no man, you know, I'm not in the position of thanking Allah Ta'ala. I got some limitations, so therefore I'm asking for forgiveness. Right. Now that is just one favor of Allah Ta'ala, and you examine it carefully, and you see the favor of Allah Ta'ala within that. Right. See, a favor within a favor. When Dawud alayhi salam, when he was told, "I'malu ala Dawud shukra," work with thanks, right? Work with thanks. So he asked Allah Ta'ala, how can I appreciate you, your favors? Because one is I'm enjoying your favor, and then the grace to thank you, that's also a favor. One is the grace of that favor, and one is the grace to also thank you for that favor. So can I ever appreciate you fully? Thereupon Allah says, now you have understood. Now you have thanked. You understood that the favors of Allah are so much, in such magnitude, that you don't have the ability to thank Him. So therefore, people like us, Then we ask for ease and forgiveness, rather than asking for trials like the Sahaba Kiram. A lot of us say, no, you should be like the Sahaba Kiram. But you can't live one day like the Sahaba Kiram. One khajur, one date, and some water, and they're moving on with their lives. No complaints, nothing, absolutely nothing. And now you want to compare yourself against the Sahaba Kiram. I say, do you feature anywhere near? So our life is just make thanks. Be thankful to Allah Ta'ala. As Zaji Ahmed was explaining, one person is coming into righteousness, trying to become a Sufi. One of the problems is that when you're trying to become a Sufi, then do it under guidance. Don't do it yourself. You try and fix up one thing and you damage another 10 things. Intentions are good. Nobody says that the intentions are flawed. But do under guidance. So now you're just going wild. You think you're doing a great service. And then you discover what a mess up you've caused. Right? So he says, one person now, his wife prepared some nice chops and all that, right? Chops and chips, whatever. So now, he's trying to become pious, but pious unsupervised. So he took one whole liter of water, put it into the chops and chips, and now he's eating it. Say, bhai, to ye jahil hai. He doesn't know. The right thing was to eat that and to thank Allah Ta'ala. And to see, to show Allah Ta'ala, I am not capable, I am incapable, so much of favors, you know, with such lovely hands, with so much of respect, so much of ease, and so much of flavor and taste, and you're causing me, you know, you're favoring me with your favors. So your ma'rifat and your understanding of Allah Ta'ala will improve. When your understanding improves, then your thanks also will improve. When you understand He's given you so much, then your thanks also will improve. So that's why I say, for us the better line to follow is the line of thanks. So therefore they say, the Sufi let his food be good, and what he is used to let it be good. I don't say he must overindulge. But now if his mind is at ease, then he can perform well. But his mind is not at ease, then can he perform well? Can't perform well. Hey, what a tea. No kick in the tea. So how does he feel? Can he start off his day? So enjoy the tea. As Mawlana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he was like a mehman nawaz, you know, a host, a person you can't find like him. He was stationed Masjid al-Nur, the Markaz in Medina Munawara. So any time of the day and night, and his dastar khans are open. Khajur, badam, pistas, whatever, laid it out. And people enjoying eating, drinking tea and enjoying. That was his style. So one mehman pulled in, but at the wrong time he came in. So the tea was a little bit cold. So he says the khadim, go and make a new cup of tea and make it hot. So this person says, this is all right. So he asks him, all right, then we're drinking this tea cold or half cold. Usko piyenge sugar ke saath ke bila sugar ke. You're going to be drinking with sugar or not? Go and warm the tea, make it nice, fresh and hot, and pass it on to him. So now we'll drink the tea and you'll drink it with sugar. But that, then we'll just drink it as a routine. Hey, now, lapsos here, lapdos here. Hey, so wonderful, so beautiful. So they look for ways for you to come close to Allah Ta'ala. In your work, in your profession, in your day-to-day, your life with your wife. But how you can connect it, how can you get connected to Allah Ta'ala? How can you bond? So some people, they used to some luxuries. So we don't say that throw away the luxuries. Yes, don't overdo it. Keep a moderate, do it with moderation. When you're going to do it in moderation, you'll be ever thankful. But now you go at a very high standard. Now to maintain that standard, is it easy? So I tell my friends, even if you got wealth, but don't go above moderation. Now you went above moderation, and your children got used to all these type of luxuries. So you see, you're working with people, so many people working with, right? And people come for advice, etc. So we know what they go through. Right? One accountant now the style is different, right? You're working in a corporate environment. So he came here, and he said his wife is gone. And corporate environment means that you must be in one hall like monkeys. Male, female, everybody working together in one hall. Now, for how long you going to restrain yourself? She will talk to you, say, how are you this morning? So my wife is gone. Can I share my lunch with you? Then from one thing, what happens after that? One thing leads to the other. So I told her, bye, take the flight now, go. Even you don't get this month's salary, but you go. Because I will see now what can happen to this person. On his return, he said, Jazakallah, I don't think I made a mistake. Because I know what I was tempted to do. It's an open environment. In an open environment, what can you be tempted to do? You'll hold yourself, young blood, hot blood, and the temptation is not dead. It doesn't mean now you're in work, your temptation also is dead. No. The temptation is there. But now you rather spend that money, go for Umrah, right? Your mind will be at ease and relaxed, and you won't be inclined towards wrong. So now, if you're going to get into this luxury liner, right, these children are going to get married, they're going to go. Right? When they're going to go, can they maintain that level of luxury? And even the father says, no, I'll sponsor the Umrah. What is the son-in-law going to do? And he doesn't want to be a sucker. He wants his independence. He wants his independence. And then you want him to be a sucker, then how he'll feel? Right? So you see what happens. So this, they won't ask you to give out the luxuries, but just go with moderation. When you go with moderation, it's easier for you. It's easier for your children. When they are around with you, it's easier for them when they're separated, right? It's easier for all. And obviously, you can give them something after they get married and they're gone. They need something to sustain themselves. You've given them. But now you lived a very high lifestyle. How can you maintain all these things here? And then the chances for them to get tempted to wrong isn't great. So great. You know, every week you get us complain. Right. There's money available, people are earning well, right. And then everybody got a smartphone, the man and the woman both got, right. And they're not so committed, coming with beards, turbans, all that. And then they come and tell you their private problems. Many in Jamaat Albert, I just chatted to one girl. And then after that, then my wife caught up, she starts chatting with one boy. So how you can chat, I can chat as well. Can you see that? So this freedom has come in, sometimes because of wealth and because we don't know how to maintain ourselves. We saw now, we call these things as gadgets, and so we must use them, enjoy them. So at the beginning you enjoy them correctly, but after that to maintain the limit, I say, is it easy? It's not an easy thing. You need so much of willpower to restrain yourself. Now, then you get a case, a string of kids, what happens, right? So the girl catches the boy, and he's chatting, and then the boy catches the girl. So he asks, why are you doing this? Why did you do this? So there's gender equality. You can do it, I can do it as well. Now that story, I'm trying to read a story, that thing floats around. Then the father-in-law and the father-in-law on both sides, they start fighting. Mother-in-law's fight. And nowadays, it's different. It's a different world. Educated people, wealthy people, and women and men, they're using F&Bs. Educated, wealthy, but they don't hesitate in using this type of language. But you see where it starts from. And the irony of all this is that it's happening in the prison of the children growing up. They see, oh, Dada, Nana, and he's fighting with that one, and that one is fighting with someone, and using FNVs. So how does it impress on the child? So the life of moderation. And number two is, besides moderation, to get yourself supervised all the time. Don't give yourself that freehold that I can do what I want. That is in Jannat. لَكُمْ فِيَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. Because you restrain yourself here, so there you'll have total freedom. But now, you want total freedom here, and you want total freedom there, that doesn't work. If you restrain yourself here, then all the luxuries of the hereafter become subservient. But if you became subservient to all the luxuries here, then you can't expect the luxuries of the hereafter to be subservient to you. Make up your mind, what you want. So, that's how people think, unfortunately. I got the money, why can't I use it? Why can't I enjoy it? But it's not your money. It came from Allah Ta'ala. See, in Surah As-Safat, خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. He created you, and He created the acumen, He created the skill within you. خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Look at the hadith, Hazrat Huzaifah radiallahu anhu's hadith, created you, and the acumen, and the intelligence, and the ingenuity, and the skill. He created the skill. Otherwise, think for a moment, the material was around, and the brains were around, then why was the motor car only discovered 250 years ago? Why not before that? Material was there. Can you say the material wasn't there? Material was there. The brains were there. But it only opened up to you when Allah Ta'ala opened this. He opened this chapter, so this discovery came about. But as long as He kept it concealed, you could have never thought of it. See? So He gave you the ingenuity, He gave you the skill. He created you and He created that. Well, when He gave you all that, then at that time you forget Him. And you think, no, I can do what I want. So he's reciting this verse, وَصَّافَّاتِ صَفًّا, arranged in rows. Now, this verse is telling you also that you can do your prayers, etc., randomly or scattered around. But what Allah likes, that you do it neat, do it properly, standing well arranged in rows, right? That's what He likes. And now all these things can happen, right, when you are under someone's supervision, see? Not on your own. You're doing it on your own, then you have slips and bumps, and then you discover that I made a mistake. But then it's too late. Sometimes it's too late. The damage is done, and then to reel up from that mistake, it becomes too difficult. Now that's what Shaitan likes. What he likes, that you must be not supervised. When you're not supervised, then I'll control your mind. I'll control your behavior. I'll control your mind. Right? Shaitan likes that. But now, to allow someone to supervise you, then that takes the strain on the pride and the arrogance. See, now I have to humble myself. I have to ask, discuss, now I'm going here, I'm doing this. So it takes a lot out of me, that I need to humble myself. Now Shaitan doesn't want that, because that's the only way to reach Allah Ta'ala, man tawada'a lillah. As your humility grows, then your progress. Anibu ila rabbikum. Look at that. Anibu. You turn to Allah Ta'ala, but with humility. So why with humility? When it's with humility, then you are prepared to submit yourself. Anything that comes from Allah Ta'ala, you are prepared. But is that element of humility is not in the ibadat, then the question is, oh, why, you know, why five times namaz? And you know, our business is getting affected. You know, we can't even use the banks, you know, interest, we can't use. But how the world can operate. So all these things will come in when that humility is out of the life. But the moment that humility is in the life, then you don't ask these questions. So it's a command of Allah Ta'ala, let it be. And I don't deserve to know the law of Allah Ta'ala. the wisdom of the law. I don't need to. I need to know the law so I know what is halal and haram. But what's the wisdom behind it, that I don't know. He knows it, he planned the whole thing, he knows it. See this, Khulafa'i Rashideen, they maintain that humility. But Umar radiallahu anhu, hear about his safar to Baytul Muqaddas, right? Just one servant and him. They got some provisions, khajur, and some water. That's the whole provision for the entire road. You ask these poor hajis, at what part course they're taking? Bunch in advance, this one and that one. You hear all the stories the ladies are talking about. They also preparing for the hajis. So much of preparation. Here is the Amir al-Mu'min that's traveling, and one servant, that's all. Bag of khajur, some water, and they're moving. Clothes got about 15 patches. So as he reaches Sham, Bayt al-Muqaddas, as he reaches, so some Sahaba-i-Kiram are there to receive him. So they are saying, Umar, you know, yeah, people are very, very advanced. Coming in with this type of clothes, they look at you with despise. There's a garment here, and there's a very well-bred horse, you know. So you come in with elegance, you know, they will hold you in. So Islam also, there's a thing like, you make considerations for people, right? For their feelings, for their emotions. For a moment, Umar radiallahu was overwhelmed, that these people are requesting, and they won't feel nice if I don't accept this proposal. So he jumped onto the horse, and he wore that cloth. That horse hardly had taken few steps, you know. Jumped off, get me my animal, and get me my clothing. And he said, to the person that was offering this, made this proposal, had it not been you, I would have whacked you. You know, I could feel the difference straight away. From the simplicity, when I went on to this, I could see that there was a change. In my whole spirituality, there was a change. See that? So they maintained this, and they understood that this is the way. Umar radiallahu anhu is receiving a whole delegation of Roman delegation, right? High profile. So they received whatever discussions, and the man is, the whole delegation has left. Just then he says, get me that leather bag. Put the leather bag, fill it up with water. I will go myself and provide the Muslim homes with water. Now, in that zamana, if you saw it, it's in India, around the time we were there. So to do this work here, you know, to take water, carry water past the homes, is a very menial job. Very, very menial job. But he says, now I have received this delegation, and I felt something within myself. You know, high profile Roman delegation came to see me. Right? So I had to cut myself to size. They knew that tawadha alillah, the road to progress is you must humble yourself. Don't ever have that air. That attitude, that breaks the whole education. Sa'asrifu an ayati alladhina takabbarun. See, Allah Bakh says, even my knowledge, my understanding, the recognition of Allah, you won't get it. See, the recognition is required to get khashiyat. And the khashiyat is like the key to Jannah. Because Allah Bakh speaks about all the amal. At the end he says, Zalika liman khashiya rabbah. These favors are for who? For who? Zalika liman khashiya rabbah. Inna allatheena yakhshawna rabbahum bil ghaib. He starts that khashiyat has to come in. The product of the knowledge must be khashiyat, fear. That fear prompts you to do the thing right. And there's no fear then. What happens to the person? No fear. That's why I say that you don't have someone supervising you, then your supervisor is shaitan. And see how he'll bluff you. One friend is telling me, I have to do some business for me, whatever it was. So he went to one crowded shop, and uncle is sitting there, and he's admiring all the girls that are walking around. And now how he's covering himself, you know, all these black girls, you have to meet the Muslims, you know. But you see that, how the shaitan bluffs you. Where it comes from? It comes from that you don't supervise yourself. Then who supervises you? See, what a fantastic story Shaitan gave him. You know, all these girls that we used to name, we need to marry them and make them Muslims. See, and he's admiring all these things, no concern. But you see what happens. So when they say this word here, there is a prelude for it. One person is the haram sharif. Imagine how the shaitan plays with you. So, those that have been, I don't know recently, but in the past, so you'll get a Malaysian whole, thousands of Malaysians in one place. Indonesian one place. Philippines one place. Right? Then the women are on side. So he's looking at those Filipinos or Indonesian girls, whatever. Say, what masoom, kaise masoom chehre? How innocent faces. As though he's like a buzrug now. See, so what he's doing, what his heart is doing. Right in the Haram Sharif, front of the Kaaba Sharif, what he's doing. Can you see that? Now that happens when you've got no one to supervise you. That's what happens. And our Buzruganati understood these things. In 1982, the Sheikh Hamza had graced our shop. So before his arrival, Pusisa was around, and Pusisa had a sitting in the Mia's house in Mia went. Then they sold that and they moved on somewhere else, right? So Pusisa was their guest, and Haji Bhai Padia asked, this is 1982 now, right? So it's over, say, 40 years. 44 years, sir. So, tasawuf was something totally new. We didn't know about it, right? So he asked Mustafa Rahman, what is tasawuf? It was a new hearing of it for the first time, the Shaykh going to come, big etikaf, whatever, zikr, etc. But for the first time, now we know what we are going in for. So he asked Mustafa Rahman, what is tasawuf all about? So he gave an answer, right? It starts off with niyat and it escalates to ihsan. Right? Ihsan literally means to do something well. To do anything but to do it well. But you're working with people, do it well. With Allah Ta'ala, do it well. With your parents, do it well. Whatever you're doing, small or big, but do it well. With people, you are working well. Right? You are good to them. You're providing a good service, you are seeing them with kindness and compassion, love, right? When you are with Allah Ta'ala, then your heart is focused, undivided attention to Allah Ta'ala, as though you are watching Him. So that's the meaning of doing it well there. People, compassion, consideration, love, respect, right? Whatever it takes you to be good to the person. Right? So it starts off with niyat, ends up with this. Then he went on to give a story. This one, Amir Hussein Sahib, Amir Shah Khan Sahib. So this Amir Shah Khan Sahib, he says that I was in Makkah Mukarrama. No, I was. I asked this question to Mawlana Gangohi Sahib, Amir Shah Khan Sahib. I asked Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi, since I was in Makkah Mukarrama, Amisha, he says, I was in Makkah Mukarrama, and a youngster came to one sheikh at that time, and the sheikh just looked like this, and said, yeah, this is the description of that girl, right? This is the type of hair, this is the cheeks, and this is the description. So there was a young Sufi, says, yeah, man, in my youth, I was involved with some girl, right? And sometimes the memories, they trouble me. So for that moment, I just think of her, get some satisfaction and carry on. Anyway, he mentioned the story for the first time. He mentioned it for the second time. He mentioned it for the third time. Now the Gangohi Sahib Rahmat tells him, Amir Shah Sahib, tumhara yaddash kuch kamzor ho gaya. You ask the same thing the third time, your memory, are you suffering a memory loss? What? He said, no, I don't suffer a memory loss. The first time I ask you, I know the date, the day, and the occasion. Who was there in that majlis, who was around me, and who was in front of me, and where you were seated. I remember all that. He says, memory is too good. And the second time I ask you, I remember when it happened, when was the date, what was the occasion. And this, but I want to know, something about this thing. So Sabrahant explained, he's quoting his mother, Gangoi Sabrahant. He said, I'm here in Gango, and my Shaykh Hazrat Ali Sabrahant is in Makkah Mukarramah. Right? We started the relationship when Hazrat Ali Sabrahant was in India, right? So he says, for this period of time, I didn't do anything without the permission of Hazrat Ali Sabrahant. یہاں تک کہ معمولی نشست و برخاست بھی ان کی اجازت کے بغیر نہیں. So this is not for those who want to gain something. Some people come here for a little bit of entertainment, all right? Humul kongu lais ka jalisum, nobody gets deprived, right? It's all right, came for entertainment, it's all right. But then you won't get the real thing that you're supposed to be coming for. But the person is searching for the truth, then he's a different person. He wants it, right? And we have to make it available for him, because he wants it. Then we have to show him the procedure. And if we don't show him the procedure when he came for it, then it's wrong. But he came, he wants to get that bonding, that relationship with Allah Ta'ala. But now how does he go about doing it? Now, you had an expensive car, so you want to know how to maintain that car. So they tell you, alright, you take it to the service provider, whoever will service that thing every month, etc., it'll give you a good run. Right? So the same way, you want a relationship with Allah Ta'ala, and now you're over 40. بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَبَلَغَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَى. When your mind has opened out, and you want to enjoy the relationship with Allah Ta'ala, so what must you do then? What procedures? You saw enough of life, you ate everything, a lot of bright place, a lot of places, right? You enjoy a lot of comforts, right? But now, this is now your last leg. Once you're 40, now it's last leg. Amaru ummati bayna sittin wa sab'in. So if over 40, then two-thirds are over. Then. So the last third left now, it's the last leg. So when it's the last leg, then what must I do? So that person is an intelligent person who retrospects, introspects, understand, alright, this is what I've finished, and what I'm aiming for, I need to know what I'm aiming for. Right? One way or the other, I have to go on that end, but let that be a best ending. The ending must be the best ending. Now what do I do to make the ending the best? I must just do things randomly, or find out, what do I do? It says for that duration of time, it says even mamooli nashist aur barkhast Adi sahab ki ijazat ke baghair maine nahi kiya. You know, this is such a practical thing, such a realistic thing. You look at a class that is unsupervised, kya hoga? What happens? So a nafsu ka tifl, the nafs also is like that child. He's supervised, then he carries on straight. Not supervised, then he goes wild. It's like a class unsupervised. A jamaat is not proper supervised. What will happen? There's no direction. So you need that supervision. Someone has to be above you. Until you get that maturity. And maturity doesn't come just there. Years, 40, 50 years. Then some level of maturity comes in. As the Shaykh Ramta says, at the beginning, his father won't even allow him to write a letter to one buzurg also. He's writing up to Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullahi. So his father reprimanded him for that. He says, Abi to Abba zinda hai, your father is around. Aur abhi se istiklal ka jhande ko apne baland kar diya. Now you hoisted the flag of independence, I can do what I want. See that? So the idea is to keep yourself supervised. And the supervision requires humility. And without that humility, you can't go up. Shaitan also made a lot of ibadat, a lot of zikr he made. But phir he didn't want to be supervised. He wanted to be the supervisor himself. And phir kya ho gaya? What happened to him? See, so this is where we need to concentrate. I need to be supervised. That is why the hadith is saying, why man mustn't be secluded with a woman. Why? What can happen? In a second, what can happen? One moment, what can happen? So the supervision, what I'm doing, where I'm going to, is it the right thing to do, not the right thing to do? Well, Tawir Sahib Rahmatullah speaks about Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullah. He went for the first time, and how he was reprimanded. Now he's a Mujaddid of Millat. He's going to this Buzruk and he's jacking him up, right? So he says, see, I'm going for my benefit. And I'm going for my benefit. If I get reprimanded, so what? You must have that heart. I'm going for my benefit. If you're going to reprimand me, take it in the stride. But no, I'm such a big person, and I must get this jacking, I must get this reprimanding. How can I allow that to happen? So this is what we don't want. And that is what the Quran is saying. Amma, the person, wanahan nafs, khafa maqama rabbihi, wanahan, you were talking of khashiyat. He's got that khashiyat. When he's got that khashiyat, then he'll restrain the nafs. And he doesn't have that khashiyat, then he's not going to restrain. Go here, go there, experiment with this, experiment with that, talk about this, talk about that. In the meanwhile, he feels that, no, I'm doing my ma'amulat, I'm all. Right. But is he restraining himself? See. So, you need someone to control, to restrain the nafs. All the time, to restrain. Because the nafs will give you 100 stories, do this, go here, and it'll justify, whatever you do, it'll justify. So he says, for this period of time, I'm here, and Haji Sahib is in Makkah thereafter, and I didn't do anything without his permission. Yahan tak ke mamooli nashist aur barkhas, even getting up. And he says, thereafter, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I had the same relationship with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yahan tak ke mamooli nashist aur barkhas bhi unki ijazat ke baghair nahi. But you see how it works, this procedure. You want the child to be born, in one day's time, does it happen? Allah can make it happen. It can anybody stop Allah Ta'ala? Nobody can stop Allah Ta'ala. But does it happen? It doesn't happen. It's a procedure. So here also is a procedure. Coming for kitabs is a procedure. They came for Adadiya Purim, the Dora. The following procedure. No, you go step by step, you'll come to inshallah. But now you don't want to avoid all the procedure, you go straight, it's not going to happen. So what they're going to tell you, the supervisor is going to tell you, just follow that. And your humility counts. At every step I notice, I'm seeing this quite for some time, right? And at every step what counts is the humility. And without that, then there's no direction. You'll go about very, very slow. And you can speed up to 500 kilometers an hour, but now you're going 1 kilometer. You think that you're going, but you're not going. And because that element of humility is not in, anibu ila rabbikum, it requires humility. And Shaitan didn't have that. See, asjudu, I must bow down for this person here, made of clay. I must bow down. So what was the missing link? He had ibadat, he had zikr, everything in him, namaz he had. There wasn't a place in the sama where he didn't prostrate. So was he short of anything? So, but what is this? What was he short of? Humility. That was him. So you can't just progress. The request number, close this thing and make zikr. So now, there's a request from my side. Allah will reward all those people that want to make zikr more. But can they just do it after Maghrib for 5 or 8 minutes? Inshallah, I'll go. So I can at least talk a little bit freely. The subject can go well. Few minutes. You know, you can make a thing difficult. Ramadan, you know, to get up early dawn, eat, and the whole day you can't eat, can't drink, nothing, can't smoke, absolutely. Can't eat, can't even smoke, you can't even drink, nothing. And then you have to wait for Fajr namaz, then Zuhr namaz, then Asr namaz, then at last Maghrib namaz comes, then only you can eat. Right? So that's a difficult. But the same difficult thing can make it easy. Roza kya hai? What is roza? Khane ko aage piche kar dena, what? Just to adjust the times of eating. So it can make it easy, right? Just to adjust the times of eating. So he says the same relationship then I had with the Nabi person for that period. And I wouldn't ask. So, Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabad, you would say about him, Gangwar Hamtai, ye unki tarah se zarf kahan se laaye? Where can I get the aptitude like Gangwar Hamtai? He's taken the entire ocean, aur ek dakar bhi nahi liya. He's taken the whole ocean, but he didn't even make a single berth. Dakar is not that van, eh? It's a berth, right? You see, Dakar, where Dakar came here? He just stopped there. When he said this, he just stopped. When he stopped, then every great buzurug, every person can't go and speak to him straight. He has it all, right? So everybody doesn't have the guts to go and speak to him straight. So one khadim was very close. He asked, I said, Pir kya hua? He first tried to avoid the whole thing. He says, Pir khuda ke shukar se, khuda ke fazl se, Pir darja ihsan hasil hua. So at that point, then that color started coming in. See, after so long. Says, now, Madi or Zam, say, kuch fark nahi padta. Someone praises me or disgraces me, I don't feel anything about it. Don't feel anything about it. And he says, the laws of deen has become like natural for me. Like how you see the need to eat and drink, that's how deen has come to me.